We're in our Christmas series. And on Wednesday nights, I'm not doing necessarily a Christmas series, but during Christmas holidays, I like to read the Christmas story because every year when I read it, the story never gets old. And I see it in a completely different way. And so I'm going to start by reading in Luke 1. Joe, I didn't tell you this, but I'm going to start reading Luke 1. Then we're going to what I'm teaching on, but Luke 1 gives it to us. I'm going to start with a verse, Luke 1, verse 32. Hang on, verse 35. Picking up in the story where Mary, and you know one of the reasons why I love the Christmas story, for this reason, and this is why one of the reasons why I'm going this direction with these messages over there. Do you know, all the way up to this point, for God to speak to somebody, you kind of had to be somebody. And you were either a prophet or you were a king or you were, you know what I'm saying? Up to this point, there were only certain people that could hear God speak to them. And it was their job to take what God has said to others. But here in the New Testament, new things began. And here in the New Testament, it starts off with God speaking to a lady named Elizabeth, who she was a somebody. She was what, you know, in churches would call a first lady because her husband was a priest. And so you think, well, that you can understand that's normal. But I love it when she speaks to Elizabeth's cousin because Elizabeth's cousin was a nobody. And that nobody that God showed up to and spoke to for the first time. Now, you can say people were nobodies in the Old Testament before God speak, but that's not necessarily true because they were prophets and they were kings and they were priests and all that. But this girl was really literally just a teenager. She had no real connections. She had decided to live for God. And I love the idea of this Christmas story because it was the first time in the Bible God had finally got his plan in order to be able to take his voice and be able to speak to not just nobodies, but to anybodies. And I love that because from that point on, this story, what kicks off in Christmas means that you don't got to be a somebody. And even if you are a nobody, the voice of God now is available to anybody. And that's when it all began. Anybody can hear God speak. And I'm going to say it like this. Everybody desperately is in need for God's voice in their life. Everybody is. The Bible says this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we're going to read here about Mary being the first kind of nobody that really she was just a somebody that got to hear God speak in a way that changed everything. And it says there in Luke 1, 35, it says, and the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come on you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Now, that is probably one of the most important statements an angel has ever said. So this, no word from God will ever fail. Then it's, I'm reading in the NIV, Joe. You mind going to the NIV on this? I'm in verse 37. You're in verse 37. For nothing is impossible for God. See, my translation says, for no word from God will ever fail. In verse 35, it says this, Mary answered and said, I am the Lord's servant. And Mary answered, may your word be to me fulfilled. Now, if God's word will never fail, and if nothing, like that translation said, and nothing is impossible, Mary said this. She says, I am the Lord's servant. She made a decision right there. That's very important in what we're going to be talking about tonight. God spoke to her. She heard it. Then the decision was made. I am the Lord's servant. Do you understand what a servant is? A servant, of course, it's someone that was owned by a master. A servant was someone that owed someone in those days a great price, and they couldn't pay it. So what is their life was dedicated to them. And I'm telling you, every one of us in here owe God more than we could ever pay. And when you understand that, you don't mind giving you God. But most importantly, a servant is someone who has a master, and their job is to obey the master's voice. When she made this statement, the Lord, I'm your servant, what she was saying was, God, I will do whatever you tell me to do. And it will be fulfilled in her life. And as you read on through the Christmas story, it was. The word of God never fails. So we're talking tonight about the importance and the necessity of God's word in your life. A lot of times, though, it gets very complicated. And I'm here to tell you this. The only reason I can unfold my notes, I wrote them out and then I twisted them up, and they're hard to read. The only reason there's any failure in any one of our lives is because that's an area we need in our lives for God's voice to speak. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I can tell you right now why the sins that we have in our life, we have them. It's because we have not heard the word of God. We have not heard God speak to us in that way. Because until you have the word of God in an area in your life, you do not have the power to say no to sin. Until the Bible says that the word, it's the word. It says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. When you have God's word, you have the power. The Bible says it's quick and it's sharp, and it is able to separate the soul from the spirit. Why do we keep living fleshly lives? It's because the word of God has not separated our flesh from our spirit in that area. We've not heard. And when I say the word, what it comes down to is, man, God wants to speak to you. And when we get ourselves to a place to hear God speak, everything in your life in that area will change. And we're going to look at that tonight, the importance of God's word. And the reason why right now you're struggling with what you're struggling with, or you're going through what you're going through, because you're either in one or two places. You're either in a desperate need for the word of God to come into your life, or you're in the pregnancy stage of the word being fulfilled. See, up to that point, Mary, up to that point, she just chose to obey God. And when God spoke to her and she heard it, there was a 9-month window there that she carried that word on the inside of her before it was birthed. And she actually held what God said. The word of God never fails. Now, can you abort a child? Absolutely. Can you have a miscarriage? Absolutely. The word of God never fails. Now, we can fail when we quit believing, when we quit doing what we are to do, quit obeying the word. Like Mary just said there, Lord, you're my servant. In other words, she's saying, I'm going to obey you. When we quit obeying the word, you can not accomplish the word. But the God word didn't fail. We fail. Think about it, God never fails. So I want to talk a few minutes tonight about why it's essential for you to hear God speak into your life. But before you can understand, you need to understand, he wants to speak, and he is speaking. Right now, in this room, you've heard it said before, there are millions of waves going through this room. There's television waves. There's radio waves going through here. There's cell phone signals flying all around this room. There's Wi-Fi. There's all kind of forms of communication flying all around in this room right now. Now, unless you've got your cell phone out and you're looking at it, you're not picking up any of them. Why? Because it takes a receiver. If I were to take a TV and put it up here and stick a set of rabbit ears to it, boom, we would instantly be able to pull in a TV signal because there are TV signals all in this room. If we took a radio, set it on this side of the room, and we turn that radio on, turn that radio frequency to the right channel, and there's lots of channel, instantly we could begin to hear the signal that's in this room. The signal was always in this room, but until the receiver is positioned right and turned on, we don't get it. Now, if you take your cell phone out right now, you can flip your there should be a switch on your cell phone and you can flip it over to airplane mode. And when if you do that, if you flip that switch over, your signal that is in here will be blocked and your cell phone can't get the signal. It doesn't mean there's not a signal in here. It means that the receiver has been turned off. And we'll go a little bit farther than that, but you got to understand, it's not a problem is God speaking. It's always a problem with our hearing. But before you can understand the hearing, you got to understand God is speaking. The Bible says, Jesus said, to him that hath ears, let him hear. Now, he was saying that in a day when there were no radio signals and no TV signals. And what he was basically saying like this is, he was saying, to him that has a receiver, he can pick it up. If you have a receiver, because back then the only way to pick up any signal was through sight or through sound. If you had eyes, you could see. If you had ears, you could hear. And he said, but him that hath ear, let him. God was speaking then, and the airwaves were full of God's voice then. Thing about it was, the only way to hear it then, life wasn't as technological as we are, so there wasn't so many crazy signals around, but you still had to get it on the right frequency. He said, for him to have ears, meaning that not everybody had, but everybody had the potential. Because everybody that had ears had the potential to hear. So if you're in here tonight, and you are saved. And I can say it like this, because the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. That means if you are saved, you have the potential to hear God speak to you tonight. The voice is here. Now, whether or not we have our receiver on, or we're on the right channel, or you even can be in the wrong location. How many guys have driven from here to Camden often? There's about four places from here to Camden you can be talking on your phone. And in them four places, we can almost mark it on the map when we drive, because I make that drive a lot. I can say, hang on, there's a hill coming, I'm going to lose you, but if you'll stay on there with me, I'll come up on the other side and I'll have you right back. There are actual positions and places that you can lose signal and not hear God's voice. That's why church is so important. People say, you know, why it's important is church? Because I promise you, this is the best cell phone signal to hear God's voice than you can find anywhere else. And it's not because of the preacher. It's because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. I'm telling you this, when I find people that can't come to church, I find people that don't value the voice of God. They don't understand how essential it is. If you can miss church, you're telling me that the voice of God, or the God speaking to you, is not the most important thing in your life, which it should be, because the voice of God is essential to everything in your life. If you read in John 10:27, it says this, my sheep recognize my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. That means this, there are thousands of voices out there. Thousands of them. And so it is so important that we hear, recognize, and know God's voice so that we don't follow the wrong voice. Because we teach our children stranger danger, but see, we're willing as Christians to listen to voice of strangers all the time. And the thing about it, the same way a stranger can hurt your children, you listening to a voice of a stranger can hurt you. And so we have to make sure that the voice of God is so important. Why is it so important? It says it in Proverbs 3:6. It says this, listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. This is out of the Message Bible. It says, he's the one that will keep you on track. How amazing is that scripture? It says, listen to God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go, because it is the one and he is the one that will keep you on track. Man, I don't know about you, but when I look back in my life and I think about the mistakes I made and the times I got off track, nothing good ever came from them. And I'm still paying for a lot of them. And I know you are too. My thing is this, God's plan and his will is for you not to have those times in life that cost you, hurt you, break you, reset you, make you start over. And his plan for you is for you not to get off track, because he has a track for you. One translation of that scripture says this, to keep you on his path. He's got a plan, a destiny for you, but without God's voice in your life, you will not. You may hit it 1 out of 100 times. But God's plan for you is for you to know his voice and you to follow and you stay on track, because if you stay on track, years of heartache, years of regret, years of making up for the things that have happened would not be a part of your life. It is so important. Read this list of scripture, Psalms 32:3 in the NLT says this: I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Man, that's strong. He says, He will guide you along the best pathway of your life. He says, I will advise you and watch over you. God's word is so essential. And it's not just essential. It is the power for you to do everything. It is the power of healing. Do you know you can't get healed without God's voice in your life? Because you can't have faith without God's voice. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you can't hear God speak, there's areas in your life you can't have faith. And so, you know, why are your finances a wreck? Because obviously you need God's voice in that area. Why is your health, your wealth, your family, any area there is lack in, you need God's voice in that area. It's essential. And when you get it, I'm telling you, you have the power to change it. But until you hear God speak, I was talking to a gentleman just a couple weeks ago, and he was like, man, I just can't quit drinking. I said, well, man, has God told you to quit drinking yet? He said, what do you mean? I said, has God told you to quit drinking? Does God told you you need to quit drinking? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, that's why you can't quit drinking. Because until you hear God tell you to quit drinking, then you don't have the power to do it. You're wanting to do it, and you have a desire to do it, and you wish you didn't do it. But there is no power in what you're doing until God speaks to you about it. And you say, well, Cricket, we ought to know not to drink. Well, you should, because God's voice is in a written form. So the first way to know God's voice is you begin to read His Bible. And if the Bible says it, you can take it as His voice. And when you take it as His voice, then what takes place is it begins to work in your life. But if you don't understand that the Bible is His voice, then you've not heard God speak. You've read the Bible. There are people, you know, that study the Bible line by line to discredit the Bible. And the Bible does them no good. Because until you recognize that the Bible is the Word of God and it is the voice of God, that's the first step to it. It does you no good. Till you recognize where He said that I have come to save you, you can't be saved. Recognizing the Word of God. So God speaks in several ways. We're going to speed this up real fast and go this way. And I've shared this a lot of times, but for those that hadn't seen it, we need to start back here before we get into something new tonight. Joe, bring up the FedEx logo, if you don't mind. I'm not meaning to be bossy. I'm fixing to just get fast. This is the best way I describe the voice of God in people's life is for this reason. Because just like I talked about, this room is full of waves and God is speaking and everything you need in life. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Your life and your quality of life and the direction of life is all connected to you hearing God's voice. And God is speaking right now in here, even while I'm talking on this mic, God is speaking to you. Now, whether or not you've got your receptors on, whether or not you can pick up the signal is not up to anyone else but you. It is your job to figure out how to turn your receptors on and signals on. But let me show you this. In this signal, in this FedEx symbol here, there's a subliminal message. And, you know, they say 1 in 12 people see it initially on their own. But once it's pointed out to you, no matter who you are, every time you see this thing here, it will change for you. You will never see it the same. As a matter of fact, you'll be sitting on the side of the road and a truck will go by, and what you used to see say FedEx, you will not notice it say FedEx anymore. You will only see the subliminal message. They say it's like this, like as plain as the nose on your face. You know what I'm saying? Some people can't see it because it's just right there. God's voice is as easy to see as the hidden message in this logo. There's an arrow designed in this logo. If you haven't ever seen it before, You can look at it and say, how many guys have seen it before? Raise your hand. How many guys have not? Right? How many guys looking at this FedEx symbol right now can see the subliminal message? It's an arrow. Can you see it if you hadn't seen it before? All right? How many guys can't see it? Raise your hand. It's okay. If you can't see it, I'm going to touch it. And when I touch it, never again will you be able to see this FedEx symbol the same. It's been there the whole time. It's not even hidden. As a matter of fact, it's the brightest thing in this symbol. It's right there. Do you see the white arrow? Do you see that white arrow? It was there the whole time. Now that you see it, every time you see FedEx, that's all you see. Now that you're looking at it, doesn't your eyes just go straight to it? It's straight to it. You can't see anything but it. Now, that's as simple as explanation as I can say about the voice of God. Until you hear it, it seems like it doesn't even exist. People can try to describe it. People can tell you it's there. People can even say, you know, they can even try to come and tell you what it is for you. But until you see it for yourself, you can overlook it, or you can misplace it. And there are people that try to serve God their entire lives and never hear the voice of God. Some of you that just recognize that arrow for the first time, you've seen that symbol thousands of times, and you never got the arrow out of it. They put that arrow in there as a subliminal message to say they're going somewhere. That's what they designed. That's the artist that designed that Lego. Now, when you look at it, it shows you what direction they're going. And from this point on, every time you see that, you will think, oh, look, they're going somewhere. The voice of God is that plain and that simple once you have learned to turn the receptors on. So we're going to talk tonight a couple different ways about here. Now, God speaks in several ways. We've talked before how God speaks audibly. He speaks through his word. He speaks through a still small voice. He speaks through others. He can speak through circumstances. We're not going to talk about the way God speaks tonight. I want to go into a different direction tonight on really why it is some of us haven't been able to hear God's voice. And even some of us that have heard God's voice in the past, why it is now and why it is in certain areas we can't hear it. Because I don't know about you, but I want to have the experience like Mary, who is just a somebody, or more like I'm a nobody. But God has such great plans for me that he can speak them to me. And even though I have plans for my life and I think in a direction they should go, his plans are so much greater that I hear what his plans are and I can change directions of my life to fit his direction so that I can truly be fulfilled. Because I'm telling you, the reason why we've not been able to get any farther or do any better than what is because of a lack of God's word in our life, God's voice. And so we're going to go to a scripture here. And we're going to talk about tonight how to hear God's voice. Joe, I told you, I'm going to start in verse 4. Go to Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Now, this story is probably one of the most told stories in the Bible. But I'm seeing it in a different way today because it's really about hearing God's voice. You've heard this story a lot, and you probably heard it taught about the condition of the heart, and you probably heard it talked about the four different kinds of hearts people have. I want to talk about it in a different way. Luke chapter 8, verse 4, if you don't mind, Joe, I'll start reading it if you don't got it yet. But it's the story of the four grounds. And it says this: one day Jesus told a story to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. Now, why did they come? To hear him. It was of great importance to them to hear God. First of all, it's got to be of great importance to you to hear God. You've got to be willing to travel from many far towns. And in these days, travel was not easy for people. And so it says a lot of people were concerned about hearing God. And so let's go to the next one, Joe. It's got to be important to you. We'll go on down and read through them, if you don't mind. It says, so Jesus told this story. He knew these people had come from a long way because it was important to them to hear God. So he talked to them about hearing God. And I see it as he talked to a lot of them about why they couldn't hear God. And this is what he said. A farmer went out to plant his seed. And as he scattered it across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. We're going to read real fast, Joe, because then for the sake of time, I'm going to just go on through it. All right. Other seed fell on rocks and it began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. And when he had said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. This scripture, this story he was talking about, was to people that came because they wanted to hear God. And when they came to hear God, he said, anyone with ears to hear, can hear and should hear and understand. Now, that should is neat here. Should. Because if somebody should do something, that means they might not. Don't you think that? You know, my kids should be good in class, but there's a chance they're probably not going to be good in class, all right? But they should. And Jesus said this to these people. If you have ears, you should hear God. But the thing about it is there's a lot of times in life I didn't. And there are a lot of times in your life you haven't. So why? So it would tell me, the scriptures up above this should tell me why I didn't. Now, for the sake of time, because we're down to 10 minutes, we're going to get to one point tonight, but there's four here we'll do later. But you've got to understand, if you read on down to 15, this is what Jesus said. He said, the farmer that came out to sow in this story is God. Then he said this. He said, and the seed that he sowed was the word of God. And it said this. It says, he took the seed and he scattered it. He was walking and he would throw seed is the picture of him speaking almost to the point like him yelling. And when God yells, his voice, your voice scatters and it goes out in waves. He's saying, God showed up and God began to speak. Just like we talked about a few minutes ago, in this room there are thousands of waves, and God's waves are all in this room. Now, the seed was scattered. That word scattered comes out of a word that means broadcast. When farmers would scatter seed, in the old days, it was what they would do. They'd put them in broadcasters, and it would, you know, they would put the seed in, and it would, they first reach bags and baskets that they would just swing. And when they would swing, it would broadcast. That's why we get the word television broadcast, radio broadcast, because it's just a throwing out of a signal. But the problem with it is there's only certain things that can catch that signal. So the farmer came and threw out his seed. In other words, God came out and let out his voice. And then he said this, his voice or his words were only picked up by four different kinds of people. Now, we're going to look at the first one tonight. The first one, and if we get time, we'll go through them, but I know we're not going to get time. The first one, we can go to Luke 8:5, Joe. We'll go back up to that one real quick. It says, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed, and some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Now, he was talking in the frame of a farmer going out to a field to scatter seed. Now, in farmer seed fields, what they did was farmers didn't just randomly walk everywhere. When farmers would go out and plant their seed, there were certain paths that they would choose to walk on. And they would constantly walk on those same paths because they would walk on those paths because they didn't want to damage or mess up or disrupt any other. So what there were certain paths they chose to walk on that would forego that path growing seed because they knew they would walk on it. And they had walked on it so many times that that path was hard. So because it was hard, the seed didn't penetrate. And when the seed didn't penetrate it, it got to a place where the birds were able to come get it. Now, you can say it like this. If you live a life on a beaten path, that's basically you're living a life that's for the birds. Because everything in your life will be fleeting and taken away. What does this mean? He said there's some of us in here that live the life on a beaten path. That means there's some of us can't hear God, can't pick up the signal, can't receive God speaking because of we have beaten paths. We have areas in our life that we have done the same thing the same way for so long in those areas that when God does try to speak to us in that area, because we have done it this way for so long that it can't penetrate. You say, okay, what does that mean? What that means is this. There are some of us in here that in certain areas of our life have pride. Pride is one of those areas that you have in your life that makes a hard situation come into that it doesn't allow God to speak. Or it doesn't allow God to be heard. Because God's word can't penetrate past your shell of pridefulness. You know, some of us are so proud that when it comes to the area of finances, We don't care if our checks aren't big enough to pay for the car and the house that we live in. So when God tells us to do money the right way, we can't get past that because we're so proud in those areas that doesn't matter what God is saying, we don't hear it. All we hear is the pride in that area, and it keeps our finances from being blessed from the word of God. In relationships, some of us have lived relationships the same way for so long with some people that it's like we can't. Now, I'm going to tread on some things here, and it's going to, you. Maybe it'll touch you, maybe it won't. I'm believing God that what will happen is during the next few minutes is if you are in an area of your life has been walked upon so long that it's hard and God hadn't been able to break through and speak, that we pray for an area of brokenness. Do you know how you break up a hard path? You have to till it up, and it takes a breaking season. I had a guy text me this week. He was in a real good prayer time this week. And in that prayer time, he was weeping and crying. And the next day, he sent me a text. He says, man, I'm so embarrassed that I was crying while we were praying. He said, I didn't mean to. I sent him back. I said, man, you don't understand how great that is in your life. I mean, he'd been taught and been holding all this because he was taught the pride of a man to be tough and can't let nobody see you. And so God had probably been trying to speak to him in this area for so long. But until life had gotten so bad in that area that it finally took a breaking, God couldn't do nothing in. Because he come out of that prayer time and God had spoke to him in an area that was so simple that you would have thought he could have got it on. And God's probably been saying it for so long, but he couldn't get it because of pride. You know, some of it's finances. Some of it's in church. Some of us, you know, in worship. We can't move into worship because we have walked the pride. Or I say it later, some of us can't move in services and we can't break through because we're worried that if I move in this altar call, somebody's going to think bad about me. And they don't understand that by you moving in that altar call is breaking that pride path in your life. And it don't matter what anybody else thinks about you. I'm telling you, once you hear God speak, you would have sold your favorite dog just to get that word. I mean, nothing's more precious than that. You don't see any area that you feel pride in. I'm telling you, it's an area that has gotten hard in your life. And that area of your life is what you can say is seed resistant. And when God speaks to you in there, it bounces off. It reflects what God's saying. When God is wanting to really fix the core. Another reason why people get hard in areas is bitterness. The truth is you've been hurt, and that's just the truth. Whether you were hurt years ago, or you were hurt today, or you were hurt since you've been in church. Truth is everybody in here has been hurt. The thing about it is not everybody that's been hurt has chosen to get bitter. And the difference between being bitter and being hurt is this. Are you holding on to it? And how long do you hold on to it? I understand when you get hurt, it feels good to grab onto it. Because that hurt, there's a certain amount of comfort into it. And when you think, all right, I've been hurt. And, you know, I'm not, shame on them, shame on them. But what eventually happens is shame on you. Because you hold on to that hurt for so long, it causes you to get hard. And when you get hard, then when God speaks to you in that area, it bounces right off. The truth is everybody's feelings in here have been hurt. Everybody in here has been done wrong. Everybody in here has been through bad things. And everybody in here has been in a place where they have a right to be bitter. Thing about it is it worth God's voice in your life? The areas that you're bitter in is keeping us from hearing God's voice. Another area where paths have been made that keeps us from hearing God's voice is rebellion. When we choose to be rebellious in areas, in other words, when we choose to do what we know we shouldn't do, but we do it anyway, what happens is it builds a path in our life and we become seed resistant. And without seed resistant, do you understand what took place in the story when the seed got in? It said that the plant sprung up, it bore 100 times the harvest. How could you imagine? Could you imagine your life being 100 times better than it is right now? I don't know about you, But that's a dream of mine. I want my life to be 100 times better than it is right now. And the Bible says that that can happen. And what it takes to happen is for the Word of God to be able to get into my receiver. And if I can get to where I can hear God, that's all it takes is you hearing God's voice and you doing it. But see, we can't even hear it at times because of the bitterness and because of the rebellion. Well, how do you break rebellion? Same way you break pride. A breakingness. A brokenness. You come and you break yourself. Rebellion is one of those you have to break yourself over. Pride is one that will break you itself. The Bible says pride goes before a fall. You keep being prideful there, there's a fall coming. And it will break you. Bitterness is one that you got to get to a point to where you get so sick. Bitterness keeps you so sick that you get sick of being sick and you will move into a place. But rebellion is one you've got to make the choice. I'm going to break myself. I'm going to come and I'm going to say, God, I'm sorry that this is in my life and I ask you to forgive me. Another thing that causes hardness in our life is judgment. Judgment causes hard paths in our life and makes us seed resistant. Judgment is one of those things that you got to understand. Only God can do correct. Now you can do it. The Bible says that you can do it. The Bible says, judge not. And people stop there and say, oh, you shouldn't judge me. No, they have every right in the world to judge you. Because the next part of that scripture says, lest you be judged. Another translation says this, don't judge unless you're going to be judged in the same manner. So it didn't say don't judge. What it says is, when you do it, you're going to be judged in the same manner. In other words, it's best if you leave it up to God. Because he's the only one that can do it right. And so anything that you're judging, you're doing it wrong. Because it says he judges rightly and justly. So any judgment that I have is not a judgment that is righteous. Now, am I supposed to judge? Absolutely. I'm supposed to judge who I let my children run around with. I'm supposed to judge what kind of TV I watch. I'm supposed to judge myself. I'm not supposed to judge you. Because when I judge you, I'm judging wrongly. And if I'm judging you wrongly, what does that open me up to? Being judged wrongly. How many of you guys enjoy being judged wrongly? The Bible says God is the judge. So even if I'm sitting in a service and I'm judging, man, they're not doing this right. I'm judging wrongly. If I'm walking in Walmart and I say, man, that person's not dressed right. I'm judging wrongly because God is the only right judge. And so when I do that and I make it a habit and I walk up and down that aisle constantly, what happens is I become the judge. And so when God goes to speak to me, I become seed resistant. And I can't hear God. I can't understand God. It doesn't allow God's plan in my life because I'm making the choices. When I got to let God do it. I got to be honest with you. There's a lot of things that a lot of people do I don't like. And I would like to say I don't judge them ever, but I do, honestly. But the thing about it is I'm trying to learn. Because I do a lot of things a lot of people don't like. And I'm trying to get myself to the point where I say, God, you're the righteous judge. And so I can trust you to handle that. Instead of me thinking I've got the answer. The older I get, the more I learn I don't have them anyway. But God's word is more precious to me. I got to be honest with you. Now in my life than it's ever been. And so there are certain things that you do that I might not like that I got to be honest with you. I don't care anymore. Because I don't want to become seed resistant. I want God's voice in my life. Another thing that causes people to do it is an area of sin can harden your heart. Now, when it said that it was, when it says because it was trod on regularly, I'm going to go another way too. There are things that I can do that aren't sin that can harden my heart. And what I mean by that is this. There are habits and ways of doing things. There are procedures and there are traditions that can harden my heart to keep me from hearing from God. just because you have done something the way you've done it your whole life doesn't mean that you might be doing it God's way. Now, would it be sin? No. Does it, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, there are things that, you know, you get, it's called this, a searing of the conscience. There are things that, and see, when we say that, we instantly go negative with it. We think, all right, sin sears your conscience. In other words, you can tell a lie, and you can, and the first time you tell it, you feel bad. And you tell a lie, and another time you feel bad, and another time you, but then eventually you keep telling that lie, you eventually quit feeling bad about it. In other words, you don't hear the Holy Spirit talking to you about that area anymore. Anyway, do you know you can do things traditionally to a certain point that it becomes such a tradition, you can sear your conscience in that area. And you can quit hearing God or the Holy Spirit in that area. Now, are all traditions wrong? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, do not remove, me and Miss Charlotte were just talking about this, do not remove the marking stones that your forefathers have placed before you. We were just having this conversation the other day. There are any tradition that is based on the word and helps people get to the cross is a good tradition. But any tradition that is simply put into place because of treading on the ground the same way for so long can harden the ground to a way that God can't get through. How many guys have been through to one of these? I'm not going to knock it because, you know what I'm saying, it's tradition design, but I'm just going to explain it. How many guys have been to a church that has the pulpit and it has the scripture wrote across it and they can only serve communion from that table? How many guys have been in a church like that? I've been to churches like that. And they can only serve. Does that make a church like this any less close to God because we serve it from the ushers? No. So if it's because, as a matter of fact, the instructions of the communion, partaking of communion, said this: as often as you do it in remembrance of me. So if I was taking communion to boot it would be wrong. But if we're taking communion because we're doing it in remembrance for God and we got our hearts right when we do it, then you can't mess it up. Jesus was sitting at a table when he did it in an upper room upstairs. Wasn't even in a church. But there are traditions that are built. But now, there are traditions that are built that are built on the Word. And when they're built on the Word, you can't remove them. They become marking stones that the Bible says you don't remove. As a matter of fact, like when Jesus, Joshua and them walked to the sea, the Lord told them to build an altar in the middle and build on the other side and come back to that every year and rebuild that altar. There are some altars and some traditions we have to rebuild as a church. We have to make sure they stay apart. And this is one of them in the church. We are a Holy Spirit tongue-talking, Spirit-filled church. And we can't get away from that marker. We, you know, it would be politically correct for us to not hide the fact that we speak in tongues. But we can't. We can't because that's a marker built in our tradition that is put in the Word. And I got to be honest with you. It has changed my life and it has changed thousands of millions of people's life. And you can see how that's your tradition. And it laying hands on people and anointing them with oil. Some people think that is an extremely weird tradition. They don't understand it. But it's built on the Word. As a matter of fact, there is a scripture that specifically says that if there be any sick among you, bring them to the elders of the church. And then it says this. It says, anoint them with oil. And it says, pray the prayer of faith. That's what it says. And so that's your tradition. We can't get, you know, it's not true. That's a landmark. So we want to be a church that, yes, we build landmarks and we restore landmarks. There's a lot of traditions we got away from. There's a lot of songs. Miss Charlotte was telling me about one Sunday I've never heard of. There's a lot of songs that, you know what I'm saying, that lift up the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? They're great. They're built on the Word. But the thing about it is, I'm saying this. There is real easy to get your religious state built in tradition. And what happens, that's just a path that you've walked on so many times that it's gotten so hard that if God speaks to you, you can't hear it because it doesn't fit in the way that you've always done it. My heart is this. We're over and I got to be done. This part. My heart is this. Any area that I've come seed resistant. Now, the Bible says there's three other grounds, and each one of these grounds are of such importance because this is a story about hearing God's voice. The Bible says anyone with ears should hear. But the first person he talked about can't hear because they have trodden places, hard places in their life. Now, are you saying, are they all sin? No, Cricket. They're not all sin. Because their people have, you know what a tradition in the church or a religious thing in the church is? People's effort trying to get to God. Man, and I can't ever downplay somebody for trying to get to God. But I can also say this, nobody has the roadmap. And if you try to draw me a road, if I was going to draw you a roadmap from here to Little Rock, there are multiple ways to get there. Some of them are shorter than others. And that's what happened in religious traditions. Some of them were, for generations, were easier for people to get to the Lord than others in those areas. At the same point, it's not the only way. Now, I'm not saying, now, like I say, when you make that statement, I'm not saying Jesus is the only way. But Baptists, I believe, are going to be in heaven. I believe there's going to be Methodists in heaven. I talked to a Church of Christ guy in Dollar General just the other day. And this is what he told me. He was like, man, I was buying, we bought 96 cases of green beans is what I was doing for the giveaways. I had them all stacked up. And he's like, man, what do you buy? I said, we're going to give these out at church. You know, what church you go to? I told him Victory. He goes, I go to Church of Christ. I said, man, let's go out here and get a lot of good things about your church. He said, what do y'all believe? And we're right in front of everybody. I said, man, we believe in Jesus, died, born again, believe in the Holy Spirit. He goes, do y'all believe y'all going to be in heaven? I said, yes, sir. And he goes, so y'all believe a lot like we do. I said, the only difference between my beliefs and your belief that I understand is that you think you're the only ones going to heaven, and I think you're going to be very surprised when I live right beside you. And he stopped and he goes, you know, y'all might have it too, as long as we all get there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and that's my thing is Jesus is the only way. But if it's a traditional way, traditions can keep people from hearing from God. Sin can keep people from hearing from God. Bitterness can keep people from hearing from God. Rebellion can keep people from hearing from God. All of these ways, God is saying, you should be able to hear my voice. But if these areas are in your life, what you need to do is you need a time of breaking. You need your soil to be tended. And so why does God challenge us in those areas? Why does God push us in that area? Because what God's wanting to do is break that ground up. Because his desire is for you to hear from God. And he wants us to get away from anything that would keep us from hearing from God. And so over the next few times, when I get a midweek service to speak, we'll go on through it, the rest of it. But I want you to go away with this. When you hear God speak, it'll change everything. You need to examine yourself and see, is there any hard spots in your life? And over the next week, you need to deal with them. You need to get before the Lord. And you need to say, God, I feel cold. I feel hard in this area. What do I need to do to break through this thing? And if you'll get before the Lord and you'll sincerely do that, there will become a time of breaking. I've had millions of times of breaking in my life. And, you know, I'm not a big crier. Jennifer will tell you, in our relationship, we've never been in arguments that I walked away crying. But I can't hardly get in a church service and think about what God's doing in my life without me doing it. Because I'm telling you, every time you allow yourself to be broken in an area, that means this. You might be strong in that area right now. You might feel like you got in the area of pride. You might feel like, you know, you. But if you'll get before God and say, God, I ask you to break me in this area. I feel this wall. I feel this hardness. He will break it. And when he breaks it, more than likely you'll have a time of tears. And you will feel that ground get tender. And then you close your eyes and you turn your ears to hear. And I'm telling you, every time I've heard God speak to me about something usually totally unrelated, but it was like him saying, Cricket, I've been trying to tell you this the whole time, but that hard spot right there in your life has kept you from hearing me. And it changes everything about my situation. We'll finish this some other time, guys. I'm sorry we went over. But God wants to speak to you. Let's give him an opportunity to real quick. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here tonight and you feel this hardness in one of the, usually hardness shows up in the form of anger or offense. If while I've been talking tonight, if you felt hard or you felt cold or you felt maybe angry or offended in an area, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take the Lord's area. I want you to say, God, or it might have been in the area of conviction tonight. Because when you recognize a seared conscience, what you're doing is you're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a way that he's not been able to in a long time. I just want you to examine yourself. And if you feel a hard way, I just want you to ask you, God, break me in this area. If this has been keeping me from hearing from you, I ask you to break me in this area. Turn this heart of stone, it says in Isaiah, to a heart of flesh again. Because God, I don't care what it costs me. I need your voice. I need your guidance. I need your plan. I need your desires in my life. And it only comes from your word and your voice. So speak to me. Now, bow your heads. God spoke to you about anybody in here about an area they're hard in, that they know they need tilled over. Today, preparing, I felt like God told me, you've got this area right here in your life that pride is trying to harden you and it's been keeping. And man, it just felt so good to get before the Lord and let it go. Is there anybody else in here feeling like God is speaking to them about an area that they need broken in tonight? Would you just simply raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand just to show God is speaking to me in this area. Father God, I thank you for your voice. Thank you that we hear you. And your plans are good plans. And if you're speaking to me about it, then it can only be good for me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, love you guys. You're dismissed.